You're great and wonderful. Thank you that you've given me a longing to go be with you. I do long to see you. Now, Lord, help us today. Cleanse me that there might not be nothing in my heart or mind that would be contrary to your word or your way. Help me to preach as you've given me, Lord, not to suit nobody, not to please nobody, not to make friends or not to get someone to agree. But, Lord, help me to preach your word that I might warn as I even lift your name up. Lord, I thank you for it all in Jesus' name and amen. We're looking in Jude. I want you to think about some things that we've been looking at apostasy, and we must remember it's not coming, but it's here. You got to remember that it's not coming. It's already here. All right. And Jude tells us that it came in shortly after Christ ascended. Apostasy started. If you go back and you read in the book of Acts, how things started, how people said this and they said that. I like what Gamaliel said concerning the disciples. He said, now listen, if it be a man, it's going to fall to naught, it ain't going to mount to nothing. But if it be of God, you can't stop it. And can I tell you, it's of God, and you can't stop the gospel. You can't stop the word of God. You can't stop what was once delivered unto the saints. You can't stop it today. Now, be aware and beware that it creeps in. Apostasy creeps in. It don't come with a sign and say, I'm an apostate, scoot over. It don't do that. What it does, it creeps in and sits beside us. And in deceiving, swelling words, sucks your mind into deception that this is what it is. And it sounds so good and sounds so soft and sounds so right that that's what you want to be, that's what you want to become. And then it's like that little spinner you throw in the creek for a trout. And you'll throw it, 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 and that trout's there watching it go by, and watching it go by. And then it just can't take it. It's got to, okay, let me try it. And it sticks them, and they're caught, and they say, uh-oh, probably shouldn't have bit that. And that's the way apostasy does. We look first, if you think about it, we look first at the apostasy in the Word of God, and anything that's against Christ, anything that's against this Bible, I want you to understand, I'm going to go ahead and let out this morning again that the apostasy in the Word of God, our preserved Word of God, the King James Bible is our preserved Word, and apostasy is against it, and it wants us to change it, it wants us to do away with it, and accept other things. I'm telling you that if anybody tells you that it's the same, they are an apostate. If anybody, now I know there'll be some that'll probably listen to this and call me on it, that's fine. But if you're going to take up another Bible, what is called a Bible, and it takes away the deity of Christ in one place, then it's an apostate book, and it's wrong. And I will stand against it, and I don't have to go read a history book. I'm just going to go ahead and read this book. And listen to me. Everybody look at me this morning. You'll not ever accept another version Bible if you just read this book. You'll have to read another book, a different kind of a book, to go to another version Bible. You'll have to listen to some man tell you that this is better. You better stick with what has been handed down by our ancestors, but what God has preserved most of all. So the apostasy of the Word of God today is the first thing that's mad. And you say, well, it's the same thing. Well, I think myself thin. I look good 150 pounds here in all my muscle six pack belly. Huh? Is that true or not? Well, that's what I believe. It's what I wrote down. Huh? Why can't I identify that? If people can identify as a dog or a cat, I can identify as thin. Huh? that all right? But see, ain't that stupid? But don't tell me the other books are the same. Because that's stupid. As long as I want everybody to make sure they understand what I'm saying. Right? The apostasy in the Word of God. Then there's apostasy in the way to God. We looked at that. With the way of Cain and the heir of Balaam and the gainsaying of Kor. It's against the blood. It's a be good salvation, a be good theology, a merchandise theology, a merchandise religion, be good sale, bring everything in, everything's okay. That's not true. There's only one way to God, and that's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just by Jesus Christ, but by His death and burial and resurrection. Not by being a good man or a good teacher. He was God, but He was more than it. He was our sacrifice. He was my blood atonement. He is the reason that I'm saved today, and by Him and Him alone. Anything or anybody or any religion or any denomination that has you add anything to Jesus Christ is apostate religion. Amen. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Not just only Son, He's the only begotten Son. Amen. Anything other than that is apostate and it's apostasy, and I don't care how sincere, how great they are, you can't add it. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus communion. It's not Jesus plus church membership. It's Jesus and Him alone. Amen. Or it's apostate. And that's just the truth. Then we looked last Sunday at the apostasy in the work, in the worship of God. We've seen in the Word of God, in the way to God, and then in the worship of God. Sensual, having not the Spirit. It's out of your heart. It's out of the love of your heart. Let me say this. If you're truly saved, you'll worship. If you're truly saved, you will worship. Because He's in you, and He's changed you, and you can't get over that. And you might not do it like others, but it's inside of you, and it'll come out, and it'll be directed directly to Him, and it'll be spiritual, not sensual. Amen. The worship of God. And then today, for just a moment, I want us to look at the apostasy in the work of God. The apostasy in the work of God. Now listen to me. When trouble comes into church, and we've had our troubles, we've had our share of troubles, have we not? And when trouble comes into church through apostasy, all right, the work of God is hindered. All right? Now I'm going to tell you how, I'm going to explain how I know. It's apostasy. May not, there's people that will deceive and don't know that they're a deceiver. Because they're a puppet. They're a puppet. Are you hearing me? But the enemy has planned the destruction of the body of Christ. The church of the living God. Are you hearing me? Now pay close attention to what I'm going to say. Because when trouble comes in a church, the focus is changed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The focus of being fruitful is changed to maintaining and maintenance. Amen.
You're right.
It's happened right here. The drive for growth, the drive for souls, the moving of people coming to Christ and the work had been hindered to where the focus had to be put upon maintaining what we have yet left.
Right.
It was in our prayers. It was in our thoughts. It was in our activities to maintain, because apostasy had come.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
Anything that takes our focus away from seeing people come to Christ or us growing in Christ is apostate. Okay? Listen carefully. When things settle down after trouble, the contamination is still there. It's still there. You can get rid of termites in your floor joists, but them holes are still in there. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. The only way to remove that would be to rebuild the whole thing. Right? But it's best to go ahead and get rid of the termites. Amen. We still okay? Yes, sir. Listen to this quote. Infiltration. Are you hearing me? Infiltration is much more dangerous than confrontation. Infiltration is much more dangerous than confrontation. Huh. You follow me? Now, Jude, just look at verse 16. Verse 16 is describing the apostates. And we're going to look at some things here when we're talking about the work of the Lord. Now, you'll say, well, I don't see where this has anything to do with about the work of the Lord. Well, let's see. Let's just take this. This is what's going to be in the last day. And it's not what's going to be out downtown at the supermarket, but it's going to be what's in the church house. Okay? Everybody still with me? Now, it's describing apostates. All right? Now, we done looked at Cain, works of religion. Or works religion. We've looked at Balaam making merchandise of the ministry, and we've seen Korah speaking against the ministry. We've done saw that. Everybody still with me? But when I look at verse 16, it says this. Look at Jude, verse 16. These are, who are these? Well, these, when you read the book of Jude and you read these, it's the apostate. When you read the word these, that's who it's talking about. All right? Everybody still with me? Look over verse 10 real quick. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. You know, but these. Just remember that. When you read it and you see these, up in verse 19, these be they. Everybody still with me? All right? Think about that, these. Now, here in verse 16, we says these. Who are apostates? When apostate comes in, who are they? They're murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. All right? We're talking about now the work of God. You say, well, what's this got to do with the work of God? This hinders the work of God. This is apostasy in the work of God. Our life as a Christian, look at me this morning. If you're truly saved, all right? If you're truly saved, your job is not to set a bench. Your job is to go forth with the Word of God. If you're saved, your job, if you are saved, it's your job as much as my job to go forth with the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm no more responsible than you are. My responsibility, technically, as a pastor, is to feed you and equip you that you can spread the Word of God more efficiently. But it don't excuse me because I'm a Christian and part of the body. Therefore, I have the same obligation to spread forth the Word of God. But every born again believer, are you hearing me? Should be promoting the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be in your speech. It ought to be in your conduct. Are you hearing me? But it ought to be in your purpose that you speak the word. Huh? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, the Bible says. How shall they hear except they have a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Well, the Lord done sent us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Huh? It's your job to talk to the one you ride to work with. It's your job to talk to one you work for. It's your job to the one you buy your groceries from. It's your job to talk to your doctor, to talk to your nurse. It's your job to talk to the receptionist. It's your job to talk to the stranger at the gas pump. It's your job to talk to the stranger on the street. It's your job as much as is anybody's job. And apostasy will set in and contaminate to where instead of that happening, we murmur. We complain. Did any of that go off around here? Any murmuring or complaining go off around here? Mountain State? Huh? Sure there is. Because infiltration is more dangerous than confrontation. Huh? Murmurs, grumble, whine. Huh? Whenever everything's bad, people's bad, the programs are bad. Huh? When things don't, you know, murmurs. Yeah, I wouldn't do it that way. I don't think they ought to have done that. I don't think they ought to have sung that. I think they ought to do this. Now, it's never a complaint that, well, if the heat's too high, that's a legitimate complaint. If you're sitting there sweating like a hog getting ready to get roasted, huh? I understand. That's a legitimate complaint. If the volume on the PA system is too high and you can't hear nothing, and it was too low you can't hear nothing, then that's an honest complaint. Right? If it's too loud and it gives you a headache, that's an honest complaint. Alright? And if you're right about it, then you'll go to the right person and say, hey, can we do something about the heat? Hey, Tom, can we find a better setting? It's not, I ain't going there no more. All I do is sweat and fan and all that. All I do is freeze to death. That's murmuring. Yes. But the right complaint would be, hey, Tom, can we do something about the heat? It's killing me. Yeah. That would be a right complaint. Hey Garth, listen, I can't hear. Can jack it up a little bit? You know, or hey Garth, it's too loud. Can you turn it down a little bit? Huh? That would be, don't come to me and say, hey, come back because it's too loud in here.
Amen.
And you know the first thing that comes to my mind, I'm flesh like you are. Yeah. Then it causes me to get fleshy because the first thing I want to say, well, then go home. But I can't do that. I've got to repent and get clean all real quick. Okay? I'm serious. I'm serious. There's nothing that dampens the service more or the work of the Lord more when you walk through the doors and say, it's cold in here, you can hang meat. Well, if you're cold, bring a blanket. If a blanket ain't big enough, get will drift you a drop cord and run an electric blanket. If you're hot, wear summertime clothes. Huh? Don't put on a snowsuit and come in here and complain about being hot. I'm just telling you, there's infiltration is more dangerous than confrontation. And it's to take our mind off the gospel. Are you hearing me? To lose focus of the gospel is not spirit-led. If it ain't spirit-led, then who leads it? The enemy does. And that's apostasy. That's apostasy. Murmurs, grumble, whine. Whine about this, whine about that. Whine about that person. Whine about that. You ever been around people just whine all the time? Huh? Just whine. Ground, whine. Huh? How many times have you said you want a little bit of cheese with that whine? Huh? Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 14. Paul says here, do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings. To murmur. Huh? Think about that. Murmur, discontented. Do you know people that murmur are discontented? They're selfish. Huh? They like selfish people. Huh? And they want to have their own way. If you walk through the church doors wanting your way, I'm just going to tell you, you're an apostate. If you're worried more about yourself and you are the glory of God, then yourself is your God, and you're an apostate, you're an idolater. I shouldn't be worried about my way. Man, I ought to get up on Sunday morning begging God to have His way. God, if it means kill me, if I'm a stolen bike, then kill me. If I'm a stolen bike, then make me lose my speech. That I can't say no. God, if I'm a stumbling block, then give me a stroke. I don't have my right mind. But whatever, God, have your way. Don't let me be a hindrance.
Amen.
That ought to be our attitude. We're talking about apostasy in the work of the Lord. You can't work if you murmur and complain. I've watched my boys growing up, and I get on them. I'm pretty hard on them. I taught them, we done things that they didn't have to do. It really didn't make no sense to do, but I was teaching them. When it used to be when we cut grass at the house, they had push more. And I wanted the line straight, the wheel mark straight. Now, it didn't matter as long as the grass was cut. But listen to me now. I said, now listen, here's one. I want my line straight. You go down that line, and you come back the same line. And you keep it straight. Oh, Dad! I said, just do it. Well, it took them longer. I didn't care. I really didn't care. But I was teaching them.
Yes,
I was teaching them to be obedient, teaching them patience, teaching them to have pride in what they was doing, okay? But Philip especially. Philip was stout as a mule. He'd pick it along and slam it down like, yeah, they push more. And they had a motor on it. It didn't have to, one of them things you had to cut the grass, but he run it like that. Remember that, Cheryl? He blow out like that. I see people come to the church house.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Are you understanding me this morning? Complaining. I hear him talking to himself. What are you saying? Nothing. Now you're saying something. I said, you don't do her, you'll cut her again. You'll cut it all. We'll make you cut it a different way. You'll cut her all day long. Huh? And there's times he cut it more than once. Hey. Tell Marcus to do it. He always says, I'll do it. Then I got to go to the bathroom first. Hoping maybe I'd forget and have him do something else. Huh? But that's the way it was. All right, we're talking about working. We're talking about the apostasy and the work for the Lord. Are we okay this morning?
Yes.
Murmurs. You can't work for the Lord murmuring.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost don't lead you to murmur.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost does not lead you to discontentment. The Holy Ghost leads you to contentment. The Holy Ghost does not lead you to selfishness. The Holy Ghost leads you to be free giving.
Amen.
Huh? The Holy Ghost does not lead you to only be worried about your concern, but the Holy Ghost leads you to put others first. And murmurers don't do that. Then it says, we're in Jude 16 now. These are murmurers, complainers. Complainers. Now we could say complaining about the order of the service, but that's not what's going on here. Because you got to remember in this day, they didn't have an order of service. They didn't have a piano player. They didn't have a band. They was meeting in their homes out of fear of their life. And they was 10 or 12, 14 at the most, in homes, having church. Huh? Right? But complainers, now listen to me now, is my life is wrong. Where I'm at in my life, I'm not pleased with God. We want a different life than what we have. You understand what I said? That I ought to be there instead of here. Or I ought to have that instead of this. Or I ought to be like that instead of the way I am. The complainers of the providential purpose of a holy God for our life. I shouldn't be sick. I shouldn't have one leg lower than another. I shouldn't have three fingers on one hand and 10 on the other. I shouldn't. Complain. Huh? And we complain about what God is doing. Are you hearing me? Well, that's not promoting the gospel. Huh? That's not promoting the gospel. That God is not enough. When I complain about what's going on in my life, then I'm saying God's not enough. Look at me. Not being critical again, nobody going through any trial or trouble. But when we complain, we're saying God's not enough. Let me say that again. When we complain, what we're saying is God's not enough. And this is the description of the apostate. Huh? He goes on and says, walking after their own lust. Huh? People have their own agenda. I saw it. Saw it myself. More than one place where people have their own agenda. They come into the church house to have their own agenda. Huh. Can I tell you one? You don't mind me telling you one. Years ago, at a church that I was very well familiar with, there was another preacher come in, and he tried to divide the church. He was welcomed in with open arms, allowed to come and worship. He was welcomed in, and he was having a business meeting, and the pastor said, there was some things going on, and this man stood up and he tried to get a group with him right in front of everybody to side again the pastor. Okay? Now listen. The pastor said you need to be seated, you're out of order. And he was sitting on like where Reuben's sitting. And there was a big deacon sitting here where like Lindsay's sitting. Had great big hands. Big man. And that preacher kept talking, and the pastor said, you need to sit down, you're out of order. And all of a sudden, they heard a whop. And that preacher was sitting where Reuben's sitting. He was in the seat where Rose was sitting. His feet was sticking up in the air. And the deacon on the front seat said, preacher said, shut up. That happened in a... I'm telling you the truth. That ain't a BB. Huh? And you say, was that right? I didn't say that. I was telling you that that man had his own agenda. And judgment came. That's all I'm saying. Huh? Okay? We okay? What I want you to understand, but you say, well, people don't do that. Yes, they do. People come in a church and they want their way. If you come in wanting your way, that's your own agenda. And that's walking after your lust, after your desires. Are you understanding me? Now, I have a vision for the church, yes. What I feel like God has showed me for the church, not to promote me, but to win this county. I've been trying to win this county for 38 years almost here. Huh? You say, well, you have an agenda? Yeah, my agenda is to see your people miss hell. Not a personal agenda. I don't desire my name on a marquee somewhere. I don't desire flyers all over the place and Mark preaching here, Mark preaching there. I could care less. Huh? You say, well, everything's done your way here. No, it's not. I give people freedom to do, if I put them in a place, freedom to do. But there is guidelines. There is guidelines. There has to be. That's my job. Huh? Greg is over the young people downstairs. Greg and Maria is all the time, can we do this? I said, yeah. Quit asking. Just do it. Just do it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to micromanage you. I don't come to you and say, you better teach this, you better say that, you better. No. I give you freedom. And then if you mess up, then we'll try to help you. If you mess up intentionally or have your own agenda, then you might get jerked out somewhere. You understand? But we can't have, they can't be 150, 250 agendas. It ought to be to glorify the Lord. But can I tell you, when apostasy comes in, then it becomes attention to people and groups. Let me tell you, some of the most dangerous things in a church I've done learned is little groups. Whether it's a prayer group, a Bible study group, or anything else, it'll cause more confusion and distraction and destruction than anything. And it ain't going to happen no more. If we can't do it all together, we ain't going to do it. Well, everybody's going to be invited to do it. And it's not going to be run by a couple of certain people. Amen. Because we're not going through this again. Everybody with me? You understand what I'm saying? Walking after their own lust, their own agenda. I'll get my group together. Huh? Then it says, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Boy, they're smooth talkers. They can slick you. Huh? It's like, we all watch Andy Griffith, right? Remember Barney's first car? Remember the old, little old lady that only drove a car to church on Sunday? Had her sweet Bernard had. And she sucked old Barney into buying that car. Well, then here they are getting ready to arrest her. Barney's got his gun. And she says to me, she said, listen, I can let you have a nice 1944 Ford, been up on blocks for so long. Barney said, really? How much? I mean, not only she was a crook, had a gun on her, and he's going to put his gun down because she was such a sweet talker. Y'all remember that episode? Huh? I got more response out of that than any Bible I've said. I did. That's what I was teaching this morning. I tell an old story. I'll get more out of an analogy. That's what I said this morning, wasn't it? And we went over preaching the Word of God or saying a verse out of the Bible. And we sat there like, but bring old Andy in. I'm just telling you, we've got to be careful with great swelling words. I may have loud words, but they're not very great swelling. I'm not the best encourager. I know that. I know that. I've been trying to work on it. I'm not the best encourager. I'm not the greatest motivating speaker. Well, I know that. Yeah. These great swelling words, they compliment for man's approval. And it's easy to fall in. It's easy. Huh? Enticing words. There was a serpent in the wilderness. Do you not think it odd that Adam and Eve are lonely people, and she thinks it's okay to talk to an animal that's talking to her. Did you ever think of that? They should have been like, come on, and said, something ain't right here. This is the only animal that's ever talked to me, and it's telling me to not do what God said. They ought to be a problem. But no, he was more subtle. And through subtlety, she was deceived. We go through the Bible and we see that Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar, but only because he had a friend, who was very subtle.
Yep.
Talked to him with deceiving words, and then he raped his own sister because of that easy speech. You better be careful. Jews warn this. And he said, what's that got to do with the word? Because all of these things hinders the work of the Lord. And that's apostasy that takes away from the focus of Jesus Christ. Huh? This way's better. Oh, listen. I don't really agree with the preacher there. Come over and let me show you something. Let me tell you a little thing. Now, I don't really have no Bible for it. Just don't make sense. Let me show you. You say that don't happen? Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. Go behind the pastor and teach something contrary to what the pastor's preaching.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
That's deception.
Yes, sir.
That's soft-spoken. That's great swelling words. Yeah. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. To get their own agenda. Huh? We still okay? You know, you look at verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. Who should walk after their own ungodly lust. That agenda. Can I tell you? Any agenda other than promoting Jesus Christ is ungodly. No matter how slight it may be, it got to promote Christ and Him alone. Are you hearing me? We still okay? Self is the apostasy in the church house today. Self is the biggest idol in the church today.
Amen.
Not others. Now what would be true ministry? What would be the true work of the Lord? Now, I told you these things here in verse 16, and we're talking about the apostasy in the work of God. These are things that make me leave focus. Now, where should my focus be? Where should it be? Well, it should always only be on Christ, should it not? Should it not be only on Christ and what Christ has done?
Amen.
Let me tell you, what more motivation do you need or do I need to give everything I got to a God who left heaven's glory and put on a robe of flesh and went to a rugged cross and died for my sins, was buried and rose again the third day, ascended to the Father, makes intercessions for me every day, and promised I will come again and receive you to myself. What more motivation do I need to work for the Lord? Huh? What more do I need? Huh? So let's look at some scripture real quick and then we'll quit. How about Acts chapter 5? Acts chapter 5. And this is the direct opposite of apostasy. Anybody understand that? Look at Acts chapter 5. Oh, let's see. Where'd be a good place to start here? Hey, Nancy, everywhere I want to start, I'm going to go back a verse. Every time I think of that, I think of you. Nancy told me I'd read the whole Bible to back up and go by one verse. No, she didn't. I'm just teasing. Yeah. Let's start at verse 40. We'll just start at verse 40. Everybody okay with me? Talk to me if you're okay with me this morning. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. It says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, and served them cake and ice cream and pizza and tea and coffee and no, sat down and beaten them. When they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, that's a completely opposite of murmuring and complaining and wanting your own lust and great swelling words, is it not? That's complete opposite. They said, man, we got beat for Jesus. Hallelujah. Huh? You remember the story that Marvin Smith told us about the Chinaman over there, the missionary went to China. Ain't been that many years ago. And they had their underground service and the young people was there and they were talking about what had happened. And the missionary was listening to them. And they said, man, I said, I don't know about old, and this ain't the right names, okay? I don't know about old Sally, huh? You know, when they beat her and drug her out, we ain't seen her since. I don't know if she's alive or dead. Others said, did you see how hard that man hit me with the butt of his gun? Because I held my Bible up. And the other one was talking about, do you remember when we had to go through and jump through the door and all the bullets went up and down? And they was talking about all their persecution in China just a few years ago. Huh? And they said, missionary, hey, tell us about your persecution in America. And he said, I don't have any. He said, oh no, don't be ashamed. Just let us know. How are you suffering? He said, I'm not. Do you? He may beat you in the head with a gun stock because you held up your Bible. Huh? He may shoot at you through your bedroom doors and you had to jump out a window to save your family. Huh? Because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. No, we murmur and complain. I believe infiltration is a lot worse than confrontation. I believe it. Maybe, since this is the opposite of apostasy, are you still with me? Huh? How about 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start at verse 24. Y'all okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Start at verse 24. Paul said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes. Save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Night and a day I've spent in the deep. In journeyings often in perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. And I burn not. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretes, king, kept the city of Damascusines with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Chapter 12. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. As such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless that should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why would Paul say that? I don't think he had an agenda here. I don't think he was murmuring, complaining. He said, I've been through the flint mill. Huh? I've been through the flint mill, and I was going to go ahead and glory in the Lord and glory in his work. Because he even says, I was a persecutor above all to the church and to the Christian. I'm blasphemous, injurious. Huh? Oh, but the mercies of the Lord shone right about me. And because he got saved, because he met the Lord, that was enough that none of these other things mattered. That's the difference in apostasy. The apostasy ain't going to do that. Apostasy is going to whine. You say something to somebody, oh, you spiritually abused me. You've offended me. Well, how did I offend you? Well, you said. Well, what did I say? Well, it ain't really what you said, it's how you said it. Oh. I'm sorry, it's time to grow up.
Amen.
If you're wrong, repent.
Amen.
If you ain't wrong, glory to God.
Amen.
Huh? Spiritual abuse. Jesus said, you whited sepulchers full of dead men's bone. You wash the outside of the cup and the inside's filthy. I tell you, they wasn't no rougher preacher than Jesus. I'm just telling you, apostasy. Are you hearing me this morning? Apostasy. Flip over to Philippians chapter 3. This will be our last and we'll quit. Philippians chapter 3. We'd better be careful. We better beware of apostasy in the work of the Lord. Because all these things that was listed in Jude makes us lose our focus. As a pastor, my job is watch care over this church. Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
As a pastor. If there's enough stuff that goes on in the church to keep my mind off of what needs to be done for the glory of God, that's not of the Holy Ghost. A wise man said one time, you're either going to pastor the church or somebody's going to help you, or you're going to help someone pastor the church. So if you're not the pastor of the church, you ought to be helping me pastor the church.
Yes, sir.
You okay?
Yes, sir.
I worked in the shop, you know, for 40 years. Worked in a machine shop, some of mine, most time in the shop. And one thing I hated to do, I hated to sweep. And I thought they could just hire somebody to sweep. If I was going to do the production, let somebody hire somebody to shovel up a mess. Why would I have to shovel up my own mess? I mean, that's the way I looked. That's a bad attitude, I know. But you know what is so good? Huh? It's when you got a big mess and you done swept it all up. And some of you men, y'all know what it is, the number four coal shovel. Everybody, y'all men know what a number four coal shovel is. You know, have a couple of strokes and a couple of falls, and you can't really hold a broom and a shovel with one hand. The hardest thing in the world is to hold that shovel and take that broom and sweep stuff in that shovel. You know what I mean? Now, you ladies understand a little dustpan. I'm talking about maybe 5 pounds of metal chips or something in a shovel. Yeah. But you know what is so wonderful? When somebody walking by says, hey, let me give you a hand. And they either take the shovel or take the broom. And if they take the broom, then you hold it, then they fill the shovel and you dump it. Or if they take the shovel, then you sweep up, but you're working together. That's the work of the Lord. But can I tell you, murmurers and complainers and those who speak easy and those who follow their own lust, they're not wanting to help. They're wanting to stand on the broom. They're wanting to stand on the shovel blade to prevent you from working. Huh? Paul said in Philippians 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Look at verse 2. Beware of dogs. Huh? Wonder if they had beware of dog signs back in that day. Jude said beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Apostates have confidence in their flesh. They have confidence in what they know. They have confidence in their education, what they've learned. And they are above everybody. I've never seen a day like it is today. I'll give you another analogy real quick. When I went to the machine shop, I had a choice to work over here with my buddies that I was going to school with, because I went to work when I was still in high school and we done what they said, co-op. So instead of going to high school in the afternoon, I went to work in the machine shop. So I'd go to school in the morning and then work 8 hours in the machine shop. So I could side with my buddies who didn't know nothing and work. Or they were some men that had been a machinist for 50 years, old men, 65, some of them 70 years old. And I had a choice either to work with my buddies who was dumb as me, or go over there and make friends with these old guys who had done been thud. And my daddy may have raised some dumb kids, but I'm not one of them. I chose to go with the old guys. And I didn't just go over and work with them. I had Cheryl put an extra piece of cake in my bucket. An extra cold biscuit with mustard. Huh? That's what I ate in my bucket all the time. And I'd slip one of them old guys that piece of cake. And clip one of them old guys that cold biscuit and mustard. And, you know, and I'd talk to them about their garden and what they'd done in their life. And we got to where them old guys, we were buddies. And they said, let me show you a trick here. They said, instead of working, won't you work like this? And it'll be just so easy. I said, wow. And they taught me, and I got a different kind of education.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Huh? But you know, not one time did I tell them old men, boy, y'all stupid doing it that way.
No.
I was told one time, I was given a test. I was given a test, and I didn't know I was given a test until after I took it. And y'all know I don't like tests. I was given some scripture, and I was asked to interpret it. And this young person, really young person, is one asked me, and I said, well, I've not had a chance to look at it. Let me see here. And I looked at the scripture. And I looked at it and said, well, I said, let's see. Let's dissect it right quick. And it was in Colossians, and I looked at it, and I said, well, okay. Okay, and I said, well, this is what the context is, and I tried to explain it. And you know what the young person said? You're close. Now, if he didn't agree, that was fine, but I took that graciously as an insult. You're close. And I said, well, I appreciate that. That was my response. Arrogancy in the church house, arrogancy in knowledge is signs of apostasy. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in the flesh. Mine or yours. We're in Philippians 3. Look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. Now, if you want to talk about the flesh, now what you know now, Paul said, I ain't just your run-of-the-mill guy here. I circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm going to stop there. I think we got the point. Can I tell you, the apostasy in the work of the Lord and in the work of God, the apostasy in the work is for self. It's not my church. It's not my gospel. It's not my Bible. But I'm going to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Father, I've tried to give as you've given me. Speak to every heart. Let us contemplate contending for the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.